Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is hour number two, and we are glad to be with you today on the program. If you missed anything with Sri Aslada there, you can go back and listen for free on the Odyssey app. It is Jacob Albrecht and Paul Savage. It is a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. It is a festive day, as it is each and every Wednesday, as we celebrate the begin to the ramp up of another, you know, big football weekend. College weekend, Big 12 play is underway this week. You've got the NFL. You got another great game for the Chiefs. We'll see if the NFL can bounce back from the chaotic, injury-ridden, bad quarterback play start through the first 2 weeks of the season. Saw ratings were essentially record-setting again, which shouldn't surprise anybody. And even more urgency then to get the quarterbacks back on the right track. A lot of interesting stuff there, Paul, from Sri Aslada. What has been your biggest takeaway on this disappointing start to the KU football season?
Well, it's obviously starts with the quarterback situation, and it's that's kind of what it is, I think, for most people. I think the defense has been okay. It's been fine. You know, you're giving up enough points that you should still win a game with a really good offense. But expectations is always something, and expectations are what it's almost about more than wins and losses. But when you're 1-2, and let's face it, you're really 0-2 because the first game didn't count against Lindenwood. But you're 0-2. Everybody thought KU would win those first two games. Expectations are horrible if you're a football coach and you're not meeting them. And that's where this team is at, expectations. Let's see what happens. I'm just wondering, Jacob, why you guys think that things are going to change this week. I don't know. I mean, granted, there are some deficiencies on the defense with West Virginia. I get that. But I don't know why you think things will change. We haven't seen that happen yet. And
it's not so much that I think things will change. They must change, certainly. We're a couple of plays, honestly, away from a 3-0 football team that we would have some concerns about, not to the level that we do now. But I think if you told me this team could get the version of Jalen Daniels we've seen over so many years now, and, you know, outside of the injuries, then I would tell you this is still very much a team that could compete for a Big 12 championship. That's the quagmire. And whether that's his fault or Coach Grimes' fault, I don't have the direct answer to that. I think it's a combination of both. But if they can fix whatever is the issue with those two, then yeah, then things are still going to be just fine. Yeah. Because look, we talk about how often the 12-team playoff allows this, right? It allows a good team to stumble early and finish strong. Mm-hmm. I can almost see no scenario in which the Big 12 championship game winner does not reach the college football playoff. I mean, it's possible, but I don't think there's no way that they will do that. So right now, if you're KU, you've got the Big 12 schedule essentially to lose two or fewer games. Historically, two or fewer losses has been good enough to get into the game. One or fewer, you'll be in. So and remember that we like their Big 12 schedule. Like, we like some of the things that we've seen. It is a because the defense, I think, Paul, the defense is better even than I thought it could be. Now, they've had a couple of moments, but if you take away 2-3 plays, this has been a really, really good defense. Can they get there? I don't know the answer to that, but I'm glad they're opening with West Virginia. Don't love that it's on the road, but if you're struggling, that's about as good as you could hope for, I would think, to open up. I mean, you know, that's the reality. But if they can't go to West Virginia and beat West Virginia, then they're not going to be good enough to get this done this year.
No, you're right. Not. That's the place to go, in my opinion. That would be the place I would want to go.
And honestly, Paul, as much as you don't like the road, especially that, for as tense and, heated as it is for the fans, it might be good to get on the road, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, it might be good to get out of Dodge for a week.
Well, I think you're exactly right. Kind of a change. And you know something I want? If I had to add one more question for Sharius, you know what I would ask him? And maybe we'll ask him this next week. How much has the upheaval of a new stadium and changing things around and not playing where you normally play, I wonder if that's been anything.
Not. I don't think it's been a part of the issues we've seen. Oh. You know, like the issues we've seen, one, it's been on the road at Illinois and, at home against UNLV. Mm-hmm. I've had this fear of an empty Arrowhead Stadium when they play. And that's when I'd say there's so much on the line. That's what's on the line. Like, KU has taken. It has taken a lifetime for them to get back to relevancy. This is that year. They get to play games at Arrowhead. They're getting their new stadium. They're getting all of this stuff for it to fall flat, and as flat as it has that will be tragic for the momentum of this program. Mm-hmm. That's why I would tell you that I think there is not any decision off the table. I don't care what it is. If you're Lance Leipold, you have to be willing to do anything to turn this around. You have to. It's you don't owe anything to any particular player. You don't. Jalen Daniels has been an awesome Jayhawk. He is as exciting a player. He is the most exciting player they've had in a generation. But he's not playing well. And if you have a chance still, you have to take chances to get there. Now, best chance, I would agree, is that Jalen Daniels gets turned around and they're right back on track. But it's been really bad through two games. Let's go. We got on the Odyssey app, we told you this, you can leave voice messages right there on the Odyssey app. Ken has a message recorded for us on that app. Jad, let's hear what Ken has to say.
Good morning, fellas. Need to mention that Bobby Witt has joined the 30-30 club. And they also said on the Royals broadcast last night that Freddie Fermin leads the league in base stealers caught stealing. So a little positive news there.
I apologize, Jad. I thought that said Ken on the Jayhawks. He comments on the Jayhawks sometimes. Yes, those are good. And Bobby Witt Jr., by the way, in that 30-30 club is a little bit historic, too, in the number of times for a shortstop. But we'll get into the Royals. Appreciate the message there, Ken. Always a great Royals listener. And we'll get more into their game tonight a little later.
Well, can I bring up one thing real quick that you're overlooking? And that is distractions. Distractions are a funny thing, Jacob. Distractions can be a killer of a football team. But those teams that are able to handle distractions, you know, it doesn't seem like it's a big deal. But, Jacob, distractions are a funny thing depending on who you are and, you know, what's going on. And that's the only thing that I'm saying with regards to all the different things that are going on with the structure of the new stadium and where they're playing. And they're going to play in actually three different locations through the course of the season. I'm just saying that it's kind of we don't know. I guess we don't know. But having been on football teams where distractions take a toll, I do know that there's something to be reckoned with. How big it is of a deal it is, I don't know. But we've got to figure out something.
Well, there's distractions now. There's distractions that you have half of a fan base calling for a quarterback's job, probably three-quarters of a fan base calling for an offensive coordinator's job. Like, there are distractions
there
now.
There sure are.
And look, Lance Leipold doesn't have a guy who's been his offensive coordinator for a long time, you know, through, I think, three teams. I think he was with him right at the end of Whitewater and then in Buffalo and now, and he's having – I mean, it's hard to overcome.
Well – It,
but they got to overcome it. It shouldn't. I don't know what it would feel like if they played the exact brand of football they have played, but get a couple of bounces in their favor in their 3-0. I don't know what we'd be saying today. I think we'd be concerned. But the reality is, if that was the case, or if we were in the case we are now, the ultimate outcome for KU doesn't change all that much. I suppose we thought them capable of an at-large. They certainly are not that now. They will not be an at-large. But the reality is, coming into Big 12 play, the goal is to win the Big 12 and get into the playoff. That doesn't change. And there are things that have happened. The defense is better than we thought it would be. And it's not even opportunistic yet, which has been its strength for the past few years. Why people love, you know, the players in their secondary. You haven't even really seen the running game hit full speed ahead. They're just making a tragic number of mistakes that has them losing to teams that are not better than them. That's the thing, Paul. Like, if you watch those games, it's very clear KU is more talented and better than Illinois and UNLV, and they lost both those games. Well, so what's going to happen in the Big 12 when you're not talented? Uh-huh. When you're not more talented in the games that you play in the Big 12, then what happens?
Yeah.
And I think that's where people's fear is right now. And like, if we can't beat them when we're clearly better than they are, what's going to happen when we play teams that might be better than we are?
Yeah.
Right? Like, what happens when you play a team? Are they capable of putting together that perfect game plan to, you know, to beat a team that's more talented than they are? Well, not based on what we've seen through 3 weeks, honestly. I'm not going to slam the door on that, like I know some fans might want to, because of everything we have seen. I think they're talented at wide receiver. I think they're talented at running back. I think the offensive line outside of the second half against UNLV has been good. I think the defense is good. It all comes down to two glaring issues: mistakes by the quarterback and mistakes by the offensive coordinator. Are they solvable? I don't know. Paul, with a quarterback, the level, you've been in a lot of locker rooms, you've been around a lot of players, with a star player like Jalen Daniels. He is a star player. When it's not going right like this, and he appears to be healthy, when it's not a physical issue, what can you do as a coach to get that player right?
That is a really good question, because a lot of kids are different. I mean, kids are unique and they yeah. are different. There's no question about that. But one of the things that you would do is in practice, you'd try to simulate more game time. Situations, everything would be quicker. You would make the point that every repetition in practice counts, that it's a serious deal. You try to make sure there's no distractions in practice. You try to make sure practices are tight and concise and they're on schedule, and you know what plays you're going to run, you know what defenses you're going to run against whatever plays are going on in practice. And that's what you do. This all boils down to practice. This isn't going to be solved, Jacob, on game day. And I know you know that as well as anybody. These are things that are going to be fixed between Monday and basically Friday being the walkthrough day, where they won't even have pads on. You know, you walk through everything. But let's say this is a situation that will be fixed Monday through Thursday. I think that might be a more accurate way to do, because by the end of the day, Thursday, the hay's in the barn, and you're going to play with what you've put in at practice, and everything's ready to go. But this all comes down to how you practice, the way you practice, how concise is practice, you know, that, and what you've got to do is figure out a system in practice that allows you to tighten things up, get more reps, show the seriousness of the situation. It's all about practice and how they handle those hours spent in practice. I don't know. I don't other than that, Jacob, I don't have a magic wand that I can wave and say, let's fix it. Let's fix this. I do not know how you would go about fixing it.
Yeah,
because I guarantee you're not going to fix it once the game starts. You don't fix things once the game starts.
There's only one way to make a change once the game starts, and that's to pull the guy.
Well, and that's not what you're talking
about.
I know.
What's wild about that position I don't think it's that crazy to sit him down. It's not the best option, but if you got to try something, you can't just keep trying the same wrong thing over and over and over again. Pull him for a series. Put him back out there. I don't know how Jalen Daniels is wired.
Well, that could shut him down.
Sometimes that's a motivating factor too.
It could be.
You know what I mean? So I don't know.
Yep.
And that's up to Lance Leipold to make those difficult decisions, and hopefully they'll be just fine and they'll get the win against West Virginia. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll stick with college football. Don't forget our K-State insider, Tim Fitzgerald, will join us tomorrow on the program. But let's stick with college football, because Tennessee's got an idea here that I think is honestly a pretty good one. I think it's smart. I think it is I think it's something that fans will get on board with as well. We'll talk about it. It has to do with NIL. It's all Brockton Savage. We appreciate you being here with us on this Wednesday edition, this Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday edition of the program. All this football coverage presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We'll be right back. Thanks for being here, everybody, with us on Sports Daily. Don't forget, you can win some HTO, iced tea, and coffee. Just text the keyword T to 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Jake Ballbrock, Paul Savage here with you on this Wednesday as we make our way through. Paul, we get some NIL news that's pretty interesting. Tennessee has decided, and they sent an email out to fans, that they're going to add a 10% talent fee on season tickets. So I don't think, from what I understand right now, this is only season tickets. This isn't every ticket. Although I think it probably could be, and that still wouldn't bother me. But either way, an extra fee on a ticket to help with NIL. I think, Paul, that I really like this idea. I think it helps allocate funds, particularly to a sport where it is directly generated. What I mean is, if you tied this to the tickets across athletics, right, you'd know how much money you should allocate from one sport to the other. A, I think that would be helpful. And B, I think is if I was a fan and I was in this position, I would much rather know up front in this NIL world that I'm contributing that way rather than being asked constantly to contribute. Just at a personal level, I think most people would agree with that. If schools can raise the money that way rather than having to spend so much time fundraising and fundraising and fundraising and fundraising, I do think in the end that is a better use of time for the people trying to navigate this world. And Danny White, the athletic director there, pointed right to revenue sharing and pending and trying to generate the funds. And I think most people are generally aware of that. But if I'm a fan, I'd much rather be hit with it that way, I think, than fundraising efforts and the things that go into that. You can still do a lot of those things, but you know you're contributing. You know where your dollars are going. Hey, season tickets for football, that money's used directly for football players. For basketball, used directly for basketball. For baseball, for softball, used directly for those sports. I think it makes a lot of sense. And I'll bet you this is not the only school that ends up doing this.
I'm sure it's not going to be, and you're exactly right. I think you're right on target with regards to how you do it. You know, I'm always against price increases of any kind. I guess I'm a tight one.
I mean, the market's going to have to dictate that.
But
I mean, if they don't sell any tickets, they'll have to bring that price down.
But I think we would be stunned at the University of Tennessee in particular, but a lot of universities like at Ohio State, Clemson, Florida State, all these, Alabama, they'd all be a bit the same. A lot of these tickets are generational, almost generational. Families have had them in their name for a long, long time, and I get it. I think it's almost a no-brainer for a university to have to do this because obviously you're going to get to a point where you got to have this kind of money. I mean, look at the big deal on the hiring of a coach, a basketball coach at Arkansas. That coach who came from Tennessee or came from Kentucky made the demand. I need NIL money. I need a lot of it. They guaranteed Patino not Patino,
Calipari.
Calipari. They guaranteed him basically $15 million in NIL money. That basically figures out a little over $1 million a player he's going to sign. Those kids are going to get $1 million off of NIL. And that's, I think that's what the guarantee is, if I'm not mistaken.
So, I know people, Rick's upset by this right now, says it's ridiculous. NIL was meant to let somebody promote or do an ad for a business to use during their game. I know people are mad about it. Let's be real though. The players are not, like, if they weren't generating that kind of revenue, they wouldn't be commanding that kind of revenue, right? Would you say, Paul, that the players on the field are worth 10% of the total income that comes into a football game?
I think I would. I mean, you know, it takes a tremendous toll on
your body. Of course you would. You're there to watch the players.
I'm there.
You're not there to watch the coach. You're not there to watch the anything else. You're there to watch the players on the field.
And
if
the pageantry,
they stink, you're not selling tickets.
There's a camaraderie amongst those who have season tickets. You know, your family knows family who's two rolls down. I mean, it's more than just going to a football game. It's almost societal. It's almost societal. It's
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's evolved to Rick's point. This is no longer just the sponsorship piece. We're calling all of this NIL. It's not all NIL, it's revenue sharing, and that's which is where we're headed. The NIL piece, to call it NIL on the tickets, yeah, I get it. That doesn't make sense. That's not logical. But the reality is it's all one big pool of money, and they're going to have to revenue share. The courts keep telling them to do that. They're going to have to do that, so they're going to have to generate more money. I'm just saying, like, if that's inevitable, and I think it is, as a fan, I'd rather get hit with it that way and know it's there than constantly being like hounded for donations and all those kinds of things to these things. Let's go to the IHOP hotline. Earl, 869-1240 on the line. Earl, what's up? Welcome in.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I just got to help Paul, and I've got to put on my Dr. Earl hat today.
Well, thank you. I need it.
He broke his fibula, which is the smallest bone in the lower leg.
Wait a second.
The tibia is the big bone in the lower leg. The fibula is the little one with an interosseous muscle. Maybe you were thinking it was the femur.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking.
The femur is the one above, which you would be correct. The largest bone in the human body is that big old femur. And so
7-5, 8-12-4.
Up. All of a sudden, I had somebody in. Just wanted to make you understand.
No, thank you.
Earl, is a 6 to 8 week recovery, is that feasible on a broken fibula?
Very much so. A fib heals nicely, and, you know, with a proper healing fibula, you will be okay. I mean, the dude's got calves that look like softballs, so he's got the muscle integrity to keep it all together. But here's the good side of that, though, boys. If we can win enough games, we'll have a fresher Pops Pacheco
He is an injury risk player to begin with. To put him on ice and potentially know you've got him in the postseason, I've thought about that. There are advantages, but you got to win the games to get there.
Steele. And Andy Reid actually had the most honest thing I've heard from a head coach this year. They asked him, do you got guys that can fill in for Pacheco? Because, you know, Pops ran it 25 times, right? He says, I have confidence they can, but I've never seen it. At that point, I knew we were going to bring Hunt in because he's seen Hunt do it. And, you know, for everything in this world, people get second chances, and enough time is done there. And, you know, he's kind of like, you know, a little Adam Sandler going, you're smart, I'm dumb, you're good looking, and I'm ugly. You know, he came hat in hand, and he didn't want to just play for anybody, because I'm going to tell you, we're going to get the best version possible of that 29-year-old running back.
Yeah. So,
hopefully we don't see him, Earl. I'm telling you, it's a bad sign.
It's not a bad thing. He catches screen passes so well, my man.
Don't misunderstand. It's a bad thing because that means it didn't work with Steele and Perine. Best case scenario is it works with those two and you don't ever have to see Kareem Hunt. That's what I'm saying. He has not been good for a while. He's been pretty bad for a while, you know, he's not fast and he doesn't have any explosion anymore. He can probably block, and I do think that's something to keep an eye out on when we look at left tackle. He can block, and if they need that might be the biggest reason they bring him up.
When Chubb blew out his knee, he came in there last year and gave Cleveland's offense a boost. He did not like that organization at the end. So you weren't getting the best version.
You know what his average, Earl, you know what his average yards per carry was last year?
It's under three.
You know what it was the year before that?
It's probably under three, but he was a backup to Chubb.
Under four. It was still bad. It wasn't as bad, but it was bad. It was bad. He hasn't been good for a long time. He hasn't rushed for more than 470 yards since 2020.
Yeah.
Okay, so take what I said then. I think the screen game is where he's going to be used, like McKenna. McKinnon was not a bell cow, hand the ball to him multiple time guys. You know, he was a work the passing game kind of guy. And I think that's what they're going to do. They'll use Perine, who is also good in the screen game, and Steele to kind of mount some carries. But look, you know, hey, McCaffrey got hurt for what, the 49ers in the first game? The old boy came in there and had a day.
We hadn't even seen McCaffrey yet. He got hurt in the preseason.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. McCaffrey wasn't there for the first game, and the guy who backed him up came in there and had a, you know, the game of his life.
I wanted them to keep Carson Steele because he looks like Isaiah Pacheco running the ball. I think the best case scenario is they can hand the ball to Carson Steele.
He fumbled right away, and keep in mind, Kareem Hunt did exactly the same thing when he came in. Fumbled on his first carry. Steele kind of did a fumble, too. So in that game, we didn't hand him the ball anymore, if you recall.
And people think it's too much to put on Carson Steele's plate, and I get that. In 2022, when Isaiah Pacheco was a seventh-round rookie, you know how many games he played in?
Oh,
17.
Yeah.
Dude, you know how many started? 11.
Yeah.
So it's not even unprecedented. The guy he's replacing did the exact same thing. And I do think, and this is why, like, Carson Steele's not a flash in the pan. Looks like Isaiah Pacheco when he runs the ball. That's why we all liked the idea of Carson Steele in the first place.
I don't disagree, but Andy gave you a glimpse into his psyche. Confidence in it. I just haven't seen it. Steele ran the ball and fumbled right away. So in Andy's coach mind, he's going, oh, okay, let's kind of throttle back. But, you know, necessity is the mother of invention, along with Pacheco, why he had it so much. And we'll see. Hey, it's going to be good. And you know what? The defense is going to be better than last year's at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You watch.
Yeah.
We held Chase to one catch for 4 yards.
Yeah,
that's McDuffie Island, baby.
McDuffie's a stud.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, two receivers, the tight end
just
defense
linebacker.
Has been
a, we just need to get a little linebacker on the tight
and
end.
And the pass rush. And the pass rush is lacking a little bit, too. There are some questions, for sure. I don't know that they're going to allow 7 points a second half or something ridiculous like they did. But I will say this. Their defense has been better than I thought it would be through two games, for sure. It's better than I thought it would be out of the gates. And that gives me hope that maybe it can be. And if it can be, then they'll be just fine with all these injuries.
Hey, Earl,
everybody's got injuries.
It might be just like KU, because their defense has been better, but our quarterback play hasn't been as good.
Well, that's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot. Hey, by the way, Earl, before you go, I just want to tell you, even when I was in my latter years of medical school, I was having problems with bones that start with the letter F, and I just want to tell you thank you for straightening me out.
I just, in this day of no fact checkers, I just wanted to throw that out. You guys
beautiful.
We're on a slippery slope here. Thank you, Earl. 869-1240. We're on several slippery slopes.
Oh, kind of.
Thanks for the call, Earl. We appreciate a great call.
There you go.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We can talk a little more Chiefs. We'll get you ready for the Royals tonight. Just a big game there. All kinds of stuff. We'll kind of go with a little hodgepodge here as we wrap up a Sports Daily. Your calls, keep them coming on the IHOP hotline. Appreciate the voice messages there too on the Odyssey app. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Plus Connected and on Facebook, YouTube, and X. You can leave comments there as well. We still got about 20 minutes to go here on this Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Plenty of time to celebrate. Hopefully Earl is in his best Hawaiian today at the office. Dr. Earl there. We'd appreciate anybody that wants to get on board with this newest fashion trend. We are fashionistas, Paul Savage and myself. We've been called that many times over the years. So join us for a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. We'll be right back. More Sports Daily after this. Welcome back to Sports Daily, everybody. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage here with you. Happy to be here with you. Thanks for the calls, the comments, the voice messages, all the different ways you can get in touch with the program, whether you're listening to us on KFH, whether you're listening to us on the Odyssey app, whether you're watching us on 12 News Plus Connected, on Facebook, on YouTube, and on X. We appreciate you in all of those ways. Paul, Ken left us that voice message on Bobby Witt Jr. achieving 30-30,
right,
which is fantastic, mm-hmm, which is incredible, which is historic, which is great. Shohei Ohtani is trying to get to 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to think about, to me anyway. Shohei Ohtani isn't pitching this year and is still going to win an MVP. Even when he's not pitching, he's going to win an MVP.
Mm-hmm.
A chance to make history with 50-50. He's at 48-48. Excuse me. I think he's going to get there. What do you think?
I think he is, too. By the way, projections are 51 and 51. That's what people are saying. If you go by the averages, how many home runs he hits, how many bases he steals on a per-game average, I guess 51-51 is where he's projected. This is amazing. Geez, it just seems like yesterday we were watching two or three guys chase 40-40. And we were thinking, and that includes a guy like Jose Canseco and some other. I mean, it was just an amazing deal. 40-40 was amazing at the time that people were doing it. To go 50-50 is unbelievable. And what a talent he is. What an amazing talent this man is. I'm just so impressed. But I think he gets it. He's got to get it. I mean, you get to a
point. He's got
to
get it, doesn't he?
He's got to get it. Because
we've never seen 50-50.
Yeah. And
what if he gets to 49-49? Like, how big of a letdown is that? Or 50-49 or 49-50. Like, how big of a letdown is that going to be?
I'm going to be let down.
One of the great seasons we've ever seen, and we'll feel like we got ripped off because he didn't hit the 50.
I know it. And we're I got a kick out of over the last week or two, you're seeing all these things with comparisons to home runs and all this kind of things. And then you see the name Mantle, and you see the name Maris, and you see the name Lou Gehrig, and you see the name Babe Ruth. And we're talking in the company of these kind of guys. That's the company that we're talking about with how great this is. We don't get visuals, and we don't get, Babe Ruth being brought up in conversations about performance very often because there are very few guys that can compete with a Babe Ruth. And it is so much fun. I love the history of baseball. Baseball is that one sport. There is no other sport, and I will admit this as long as the day is long, I will admit that baseball has done a beautiful job of incorporating its history along into stats and legend and all those things. Baseball is it. And I will be totally disappointed if 50-50 is not the new standard. And you want to know something? One of these days, somebody else is going to join the 50-50 club. It's not going to be exclusive just to one guy. Somebody's going to join it one of these days, which is really the beauty of baseball. By the way, let me just tell a quick story on Daryl Spencer. He had some records, and he was talking to Daryl Royal, had some records that were going to be broke, and he was a guy who says, I just soon see some of those records broke. I remember Dave Stallworth, a great basketball player who at one time was up there with, he says, you're going to break Cleo Littleton's record. And I remember Cleo Littleton on that conversation saying, my records are made to be broke. These records are made to be broke. Babe Ruth's record was to be broke for home runs, and it was broke. And, that's the beautiful part about baseball. It is a beautiful piece of work with regards to records, and it excites me to see these records. I'm really excited about.
So Shohei has left Colorado six times, Miami a couple of times, and then the Padres. There shouldn't be a lot of situations where he's pitched around, and it's hard to pitch around him in that lineup anyway, but especially in those Colorado games. Three of those being at Coors Field, like I think his chances to get there are really, right. really good. The stolen bases are going to be hard because everybody on the planet knows he's running. Like right. if he gets on first, he's going to run.
He's going
like,
to go.
He's trying to get there. So you lose that surprise element because these guys want this. Like, of course he wants that number. But just think about that for a second. Bobby Witt Jr. is having this insane year to get to 30-30. Shohei might get to 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
50-50.
Yeah.
If a player had in an entire season 20 home runs and 20 stolen bases, you'd feel pretty good about that
player. Right.
How many more Shohei essentially has than Bobby Witt Jr., who is one of the top 3-4 players in the game?
Mm-hmm.
It is crazy how good Shohei Ohtani is.
Mm-hmm.
He's not pitching.
By the way,
he might be able to pitch in the postseason.
By the way, you brought something up interesting. You don't give a chance to Ohtani to get to 50-50. And let's say we're in the last game. Do you pitch around him? Do you not want him to get that 50-50? I mean, I can see the point of doing it in certain situations.
Absolutely not.
No.
That's ridiculous.
That would be horrible. It could be done. It could be done.
I can promise you, you don't want to be the player that was too scared to pitch to him. If you're on the Rockies with nothing on the line in that season, you don't want to be that pitcher. If there's no strategy involved in it, if you're not trying to like pitch around him to win a game or do something like that, you don't want to be the the Rockies pitcher that doesn't give him a chance if it comes down to that.
Right.
I can promise you that.
And boy, this is good for baseball. I mean, you got I'm going to be checking the box scores on the Dodgers. I don't necessarily check the scores on box scores on the Dodgers, but I will be for the next few days. I'm going to be checking because I'm very interested. It's just a glorious thing to see. And like I say, he won't be the last to go 50-50. There will be someone else that's going to join him in this club, and that person's going to be a heck of a baseball player, won't they?
Yeah, it'll be fun. Okay, so the Royals tonight, just a quick reminder. Royals tonight, it's a 6:40. It's another one of these weird start times. Scooble is on the mound. Speaking of great players, he might win the Cy Young in the American League. That's what the Royals are up against. That magic number stuck at 8. They'd sure like to get it to 6 with 9 games to play. Leave it at 8 with 9 games to play. Getting a little bit dicier. Yeah, it's a big one, it's going to be a challenge because it's Marsh on the mound. It's, you know, your fifth of five against their ace, and they are hot, and they are feeling it right now. That game, again, 6:30 coverage, begins right here on KFH, and you can always listen to it on the Odyssey app. Just download that app, search for KFH at game time. You can also find this show, which you can podcast out, which we always appreciate the opportunity to do that as well. We got a big weekend coming up, Paul. I'm excited about the start of Big 12 football. We've got that. We've got Chiefs-Falcons in primetime. We've got the NFL trying to bounce back to some sanity. We've got the Royals in this playoff chase. It could end by this weekend. Mm-hmm. We could have a situation this weekend. You know, things bounce the right way, go their way. This thing could be wrapped up by the weekend. Mm-hmm. It'd be a lot of fun.
It would.
Can't wait for it. Man. Man, oh, man. All right, we'll come back. We'll tell you what else is on the network today. Get you revved up for the rest of your day on this Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday edition of Sports Daily.